This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Noah Adams. Yesterday, we began answering your questions about the September 11th attack on the U.S. and its aftermath. We've got a few more questions today and a few more reporters to help us answer them. NPR's Tom Gelton at the Pentagon, David Wellner at the Capitol, and David Kestenbaum here in the studio. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello, Noah. Hello.
Let's start with this question from Winnie Haggard in Norristown, Pennsylvania.
We hear that the president has been trying to gather international support for his war on terrorism. What kind of support has America actually received from other countries? Do our NATO allies agree with the president's intent to use military force? Has anyone offered troops or intelligence or money or supplies to make it truly a multilateral force? Or are they saying, do whatever you want, and the president is trying to make it seem multilateral? That's my question. Thank you.
Tom Gelton at the Pentagon, I bet that's a question that comes up daily there.
Of course it does, Noah, and the answer is really quite simple, that different countries are providing different kinds of support. In the world of diplomacy, some kind of support that might be considered just lip service, for example, can be pretty important because that means you endorse it, you give it political support. For some of the Muslim countries, Indonesia, for example, that would be important. I think the United States would be thrilled to have Iran give some kind of lip service support to this operation. Other countries are giving or promising to give very important support. Pakistan, for example, is set to provide intelligence, maybe even allow U.S. forces to be based there. That would be direct operational support. Russia is also giving very important assistance that goes well beyond political support. It has essentially consented to allowing the United States military to use bases in the former Soviet Union, where Russia still has some role to play. NATO is mostly giving political support at this point, but that is extremely important because NATO allies have invoked Article 5 of the NATO Charter, saying that they consider the attack on the United States to be an attack on the entire alliance.
Let's return to the subject of Pakistan for this next question.
Hi, my name is Komal Lal. I am an engineer working in New York, and my question is, the U.S. has chosen Pakistan to be its ally. How can they justify using a terrorist state to fight terrorism in another state? Thank you.
I think the short answer, Noah, is that there at this moment is probably not a country in the world that's in a better position to help the United States in one respect, and that is to go after Osama bin Laden. And that fact alone could probably justify using Pakistan as an ally. A second factor is that Pakistan is itself in a very delicate situation. Now, the listener says Pakistan is a state that supports terrorism. Pakistan is not on the official list of states sponsoring terrorism. But there are radical Islamic elements there that, were they to take power, could turn Pakistan into a very threatening country from the U.S. point of view. So the United States has good reasons to work with the current Pakistani government, if only to strengthen it, to stabilize it against these more radical elements.
Thank you, Tom, at the Pentagon. We'll come back across the river now, back across the Potomac, for a question for David Wellner. Here it is.
Hi, I'm Tom Sales from Carrollton, Georgia. What set of checks and balances are in place for the Office of Homeland Security in its operations? Thank you.
And David Wellner at the Capitol?
Well, we have, of course, the federal system of the legislative, executive, and judicial branches checking and balancing each other. But in this case, the White House is creating this office by executive order, and that means that Congress will not have a say about approving who occupies that office. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge has been asked by President Bush to hold that office, and Congress won't have any say over its budget either. And that means that it will be pretty much the White House that will be keeping an eye on Governor Ridge when he heads this office. He will also have a Homeland Security Council that he'll be heading, but will not be subject to congressional oversight.
And what is the Bush administration asking for in general in the way of new powers?
Well, they've put together a package of dozens of proposals, 51 of them in all, that have been put forward by Attorney General John Ashcroft. He's gone to Congress and asked them to change laws pertaining to electronic surveillance and also to immigrants in this country. Congress agrees with Ashcroft on a number of these proposals that update the rules to fit the kind of technology we have now. Wiretaps would be for specific persons rather than for telephones, since we have cell phones and computers and such. There's also agreement about lifting a statute of limitations for prosecuting terrorism. That much they agree on, but they don't agree on some other things, such as using testimony from wiretaps collected abroad in federal court that would have been in violation of U.S. laws against U.S. citizens. There are also concerns about provisions to detain immigrants indefinitely who have been deemed to be a threat to national security. Those are provisions that both Republicans and Democrats have objected to, and it could be that they'd be taken out of this package before it is approved by Congress. It's moving much more slowly through Congress than Attorney General Ashcroft would have liked. He wanted it approved last week. It may be another week before any real action is taken on it.
Thanks, David, and now to NPR's David Kestenbaum. David, a lot of phone calls coming in from people asking about the security of skyscrapers in general. Anything being done in terms of taking another look at the Sears Tower, the John Hancock Tower, the big tall buildings in America?
In terms of what's being done, honestly, some places don't want to talk about what they've done to step up security. They don't want to give useful information to terrorists. I mean, I can call and say I'm from National Public Radio, but honestly, how do they know who I am? Some steps they're taking are pretty obvious, though. The Empire State Building used to be an open building. There was no ID check. You didn't have to show ID when you came in if you worked there. There are metal detectors and bag screen checks now. There are more security guards. They have had and continue to have undercover security, and there's a dog on the premises to sniff out bombs if need be. The Sears Tower in Chicago, you also used to just be able to walk in. Now there's ID check for everybody, and the sky deck, the observation deck on the 103rd floor is closed and will remain closed for another week or two. All visitor bags are searched. Even if you're just coming into the lobby to go to the Starbucks, your bags are searched. And there are no more cab stands outside. And the security staff, I'm told that the Sears Tower is roughly double what it was before the attacks, which is obviously quite expensive. But there's also been some interesting discussion in architecture and engineering circles now about whether it really makes sense to be building something that's 100 stories tall anymore. Maybe it was hubris. I mean, really, in some ways, it was an engineering feat more than it was something the market or the customers demanded. One architect said that building tall really doesn't make economic sense unless it has large symbolic value or there's someone with a large ego who wants to live, you know, on the 100th floor. Because it gets very expensive to engineer and add on those upper floors. You have wind bracing systems and there are elevator systems. So some architects are thinking maybe the time has passed for these tall skyscrapers. Why not just 50 stories?
Thank you very much, NPR's David Kestenbaum, and Tom Gelton from the Pentagon, and David Wellner from Capitol Hill. And thanks to everybody who called in with a question.